And welcome back to the Film Reel cast. I'm going to do an intro in a different kind of way because I've been thinking. I always do the intro and then I say this week, but everyone knows what film we're doing because you've looked on iTunes, looked on Spotify, other podcasting platforms are available, and you've picked that film. So you know what film we're doing. The only thing you don't know is who's on the podcast this week. And I'm going to break tradition. I'm with Steve. Steve, how are you, my friend?
Oh, that's made me very happy that you've put me back to the top of the scales. I'm very good, mate. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. I'm really, really good. And this is a film of your choice this week, isn't it? You can introduce the film.
Fanboys.
Exactly. 2009 on Amazon Prime. And why did you choose this film out of all the films you could have chosen?
I suppose we've been talking about doing the Star Wars prequel films recently, and I thought this kind of can set it up because it ties into Star Wars: The Phantom Menace.
It does indeed. And you're a massive Star Wars fan, aren't you?
I prefer the term nerd, but yes.
You are indeed. Yeah, that's something surprisingly we've never really spoken about on the pod, but like you fucking love Star Wars as much as you hate Star Trek.
Yeah, I fucking despise Star Trek.
There you go. So this film really, really suits you. And from nerd, from intelligence, from beauty, we go back to the opposite end of the spectrum. Someone who likes to look rough. Countdown. How are you doing, Kelly?
I actually quite like the introduction. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you for asking. And it's nice to have you on the pod because you weren't too sure whether to be on the pod or not because of the Star Wars connection and your kind of lack of understanding into the whole world of George Lucas and Star Wars, the prequels, everything. And you were a bit concerned about this film, weren't you?
I'm not concerned. I just wasn't sure I would have any interest in it. And I should have listened to my gut instinct.
Oh, played her card early. We'll see. I mean, I'll go through the synopsis of this film. It's very, very simple. It's a basic road trip film. Star Wars fanatics take a cross-country trip to George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch so their dying friend can see the screening of The Phantom Menace, which was released in 1999. And this film, as I said, is in 2009. So there's a certain irony to this. Directed by Kyle Newman. And the cast, thankfully, is very small. You've got Dan Fogler, who plays Hutch. Jay Baruchel, who plays Windows. Kristen Bell, who plays Zoe. I don't think Kristen Bell's been on the podcast before, so this could be a first for her. Sam Hunter, who plays Eric or Bot. And you've got Linus, played by Christopher Rodriguez Marquette. And you've got a
Sam
few
Hunt at the front
cameos.
door.
Oh, my Lord, that's just
Oh,
embarrassing. Who could that be? Who
yeah, my
could
bad.
that be?
Oh, God. Is your servant going to get that for you, or do you need 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, no, my husband will go. So,
Okay.
servant, whichever you
Servant.
want to call
Same,
him.
same.
Yeah, whichever you want to.
Exactly.
What do
It's
you want to
also
go with?
got Seth Rogen, who plays multiple characters in this. It's got Danny Trejo, who plays the chief. It's got Ray Parks, who plays a security guard. It's got Jay and Silent Bob, who cameo in it. There is so many different cameos. And it's got Carrie Fisher as well. So this film is really, really packed out. And it's a film that I hadn't seen before. I'd seen about the first quarter of an hour of this, and that is it. Steve, this is your, or is this your go-to film at all?
I haven't watched it in a while, but then I watched it and realized that it is just a comfort film for me. I think because it's so nerdy and geeky, it's something that I just really get on with because it's almost like it's made for nerds, isn't it? With all the cameos and the little nods. So I do like it. I do enjoy it.
You know, it's only today when I watched this that I realised Ray Parks was in it.
Yeah, just
Didn't
briefly at the end, but yeah,
Yeah,
he's
I
there.
didn't realise. Ray Parks, Kel, is the guy who plays Darth Maul with the black and red face, who you may have
Okay.
seen. And he's like a stuntman who basically did the part of it. He was like the best. And he kind of shows that when he gets the two batons and starts doing these fancy maneuvers as a security guard. It was only then that I kind of thought, fuck, that is Ray Parks. I really didn't realize that. It was weird. I was so glad I woke up just in time to realize it was him. Because it was, I would have missed that cameo otherwise. But this film was at the cinema. And do you think, guys, that it made a profit? What's your thoughts on this?
I haven't looked at any of the numbers, but I'm going to say no.
I don't think it's made any profit, I think, because it took so long to actually get released and there was no enthusiasm from the people doing it. I don't think it would have made a profit.
Okay, let's look at those figures. You could be proved wrong. Sadly, you're not. The budget for it is 3.9 million and it just made 961,000.
Oh,
That's it.
flop. That's
Yeah,
bad.
it is bad. I mean, it's crazy. When you think, even in America, where obviously Star Wars crazy, it only made 688,000. That's a huge flop. I mean, that's 10 pints of lager flop, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, this has come out at a time when Iron Man and superhero movies was probably pushing everything back a bit, so maybe it struggled because of that. I know there were some issues as well with reshoots, and like Kel said, it loses people lose enthusiasm. But that's they are not good numbers.
No, I would have expected at
No.
least 1 million, 1.5. I would have expected to
Yeah.
push that much. But it's very disappointing that it didn't. And it's surprising, especially for the cameos in it as well. Even that alone, that some kind of geeks and nerds of this would have thought, Star Wars and Star Trek included, that it would have made over 1 million. But that's just fucking shocking. It really, really is. And you get straight into the film with kind of nods to Star Wars. And I personally don't think this film is solely for Star Wars fans or even Star Trek fans. I like Star Trek, I have to say. I grew up on William Shatner and as Captain Kirk, so that was me. I enjoyed that and it was really corny. But you've
Can I
got.
ask a really probably controversial question?
Of course you can.
Why do Star Trek and Star Wars people hate each other so much? What's the rivalry? What's the
Go
beef?
on, Steve. Over to you.
Because Star Trek is just a bit stupid, isn't it? It's just nonsense. Whereas Star Wars has got more story, more lore to it. It's got like, I don't know, a more loyal fan base. Trekkies are just weird as well. They're just weird people.
So it's nothing to do with the fact that they're both shit and they just don't know how to express themselves.
It's unnecessary, Kel, but
I'm asking a
yeah.
question. I'm asking a
Yeah,
question.
but it
That is
sounded
how
like
you ask a
it
question.
did. It sounded like a question in a way. It's, by the way, this podcast is going to contain plot spoilers and foul language. It's asked in a way that will cut you off, Steve.
Yeah, almost. Almost baiting me.
Oh,
Yeah.
damn, only almost. I need to try harder.
I'm sure you'll have plenty of opportunities during this film. I really, really do. But it starts off with kind of a short time ago in a galaxy not so far, far away. And I think you can watch this film as a just a normal TV kind of film fan, and it doesn't matter that you're not really into Star Wars. Do you guys agree, or do you feel that it's not worth it?
Kel.
Well, I watched it, obviously, and I am not interested in Star Wars or Star Trek, but I didn't find it interesting in the slightest either, so.
Was that more story, like lack of kind of character development and inspiration from the actors and just general plot development?
It had a story, didn't it? It did have a story which you could follow without knowing all the references and the little tips to whatever, because obviously they were lost on me completely. But I just didn't. It was slow. It was quite predictable. So I guess you could enjoy it either way, but it just wasn't for me, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, I love the start of this when you get the scroll, the famous Star Wars scroll, which kind of tells you a bit about the film. And it kind of gives a synopsis of the fact there's 199 days, 3 hours, 33 minutes, and 29 seconds of the most anticipated movie, which is so much irony to that, will be released. And that's when these friends agree to go on a road trip whilst at a Halloween party to George Lucas's ranch. And the scroll goes through space, and even me, in my stupid mind, it's not surprising. You kind of think this scroll is just floating through space. I just love the thought that there's Superman scrolls floating through space, Star Wars scrolls floating through, and now there's this one. and some alien somewhere will just see it and go, what the fuck is that? I just like that stupid thought. It is stupid, granted, but I like that.
You're allowed to like it.
Thank you. I think what was missing at the start of this, when they showed the scroll, then they showed the moon, I was expecting a plane to fly over the top. Because in Star Wars, you always get the spaceship that flies like past, don't you? Like, well,
Yeah.
that's a trick there.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Well done. Well done, Stuart.
And this film is so dated. When they show the Halloween party and they're playing Chumbawamba, I fucking hate that song so much. It really dated the film.
What's wrong with Chumbawamba?
Oh, it's a terrible song. It's awful.
Danny boy,
Oh, it's
Danny
honestly, hate
boy.
it. You've got a lovely voice, Steve.
Thanks, mate. I am a qualified musician. We have explored this previously on the Whiplash podcast, which is
We have.
on all platforms. So go listen to that
Exactly.
one.
Hell, you like your music. You're very much into it, like we are films. Chumbawamba, this song.
Not for me. No, definitely not. No. Before my
No,
time, maybe.
Oh, it's not always about age, is it? You know what I mean? Some things are great and never age. Look at Elvis Presley.
I mean, he
Yeah,
did
but he
age,
only.
and then he died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. You're being facetious. The man is still a king, honestly.
He will always be the king.
Yeah, exactly. Chumbawamba will never be anything apart from shit and one-hit wonders. So that's a fact. But what I do like, they show this party. And we're introduced to our stars, and it's great because you've got Hutch, Windows, and it's Linus as well. And the fact they're dressed as stormtroopers, oh my, it's such a fucking great outfit. I would love a stormtrooper cosplay. Fuck me, it looks so cool. A Darth Vader as well. But stormtroopers, they just fucking rock, don't they? I love them.
I mean, you shouldn't because they're the bad guys, but I get what you mean. I prefer clone troopers because they were at least a little bit good during the Republic era.
I see. I don't, that's lost on me. The Clone Troopers. I don't really know who that is.
This is why we need to do the prequel trilogy and get into it.
Oh, I can tell you now, the prequel films are shit.
No. Oh my God, you're upsetting a lot of people by saying that.
They are terrible. They really are terrible. It's going to be a struggle. The prequel films and Harry Potter are on the same level for me. They're just shite.
Don't you dare.
I've gone there. I've gone there.
I am hurt that I'm sore in many places right now.
It's true. It's just, yeah, you put John Wick down. I know your kryptonite
No,
now. I know your kryptonite.
no, like John Wick and Star Wars do not even compare.
I know. Thankfully, you admit it. You see the light. Thank God it's taken a few years, but you now realize that John Wick is so much better. Thank you.
Oh my God. Oh my.
He is. He is.
This, no, this is not right.
But we are introduced to Bot as well and Kristen Bell, who plays Zoe. And I do like the chemistry between this lot when they're together. That's the one thing throughout this film. It struggles at some point when they try and get a love story into it, but the chemistry is pretty good, more or less, throughout this film. And we learn that I believe, and I'm going to struggle with the names, it's Linus. Who's got cancer, who's dying? We don't, unless I missed it, we don't learn a great deal at this group of friends of what cancer Linus has got and how long he's had it for, do we?
No, but then again, I don't think they need to touch on it too much. The story is he's got months, so they want to go and do this childhood dream they've had. They don't want to get too sidetracked by the cancer story because it is a very light-hearted film for the majority. So you don't want it to be always quite haunting and depressing, just going over that bit.
No, I completely agree. And I like the fact when Hutch meets Eric, what they call him Bot, that he turns around, he says, "You've got a lot of nerve showing your face around here."
You got a lot of nerve showing your face around here. Give Daddy a huggy. Yeah.
Stop.
I like that. He delivers that line really, really well. And that's the line, obviously, in Empire Strikes Back, where Lando meets Han Solo, which is great. And he does well, doesn't he? Delivers it
Yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think all the like little lines, like little nods to Star Wars films have done quite well in this. But like you said, I think the chemistry between everyone is still really good, which makes it work.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me when we went out to London and we just took the piss out of each other all the time, of us lot when we went out, just chilled out, alcohol was involved. Obviously, you were on soft drinks, just taking the piss and really easy going. That's why I think I kind of, you can relate to this as well, can't you?
Yeah, you're having a group of friends that you enjoy spending time with. Isn't that right, Kel?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
What a bitch.
Exactly. And we do learn, bearing in mind this is 2009 and it's going back to 1999, that the internet hadn't developed as well as it is now. And that kind of obviously dates the film. But Windows, Jay Burchill, is talking to someone online. And very much, that's one thing that hasn't really changed. You never know who you're actually talking to, who that person actually is. But he's so in love with this person he's talking to online, who's as mad about films as he is.
She's my girlfriend. Online girlfriend. I met her in a Jedi chat room. The woman is perfect. She's intelligent and acerbic and a diehard fan. I mean, she's even got connections inside the Lucas camp.
She's also got a man package and a goatee.
You guys are all just jealous because she describes herself as a cross between Sarah Michelle Gellar and Janine Garofalo.
And you just knew that as they kept on going about it and he kept on kind of pledging his undying love, that I thought it was going to be a bloke when I first watched this. Did you guys?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was.
But it was so much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd wish that it was an old guy, wouldn't you, than a young girl. It turns out to be, how old is she?
10.
10 or 11.
Yeah.
Oh my, that the shock, the trauma you'd go through, especially as all your mates would be there to witness it as well, would just be, you'd never live that down. It's quite terrifying. It really, really is. And again, for the second week in a row, bearing in mind we've done our Beverly Hill Cop XLF podcast, we've got Shooter on this, who plays the dad of Eric. And I didn't expect to have Shooter back on this podcast so soon. Did you guys?
No. It was, do you know, it was only until I watched it this week where I went, that's Shooter McGavin. Never before have I ever noticed it. Just completely gone over my head.
Yeah, it's weird. It's one of those guys who you just see him, and then you go, I know that guy, I know it. And once you know him, then you see him in other films as well. I saw him in a TV series that I was watching during the week. And he just seems to be popping up everywhere. And he's just one of those guys who's always going to be Shooter, no matter what he's in. And I'm sure if he's out walking down the street, that people will shout out Happy Gilmore quotes to him. And I mean, it's made him a fucking good living, no doubt, isn't it?
Yeah. But strangely enough, there's also another callback to last week's film with Billy Dee Williams. His character is called Judge Reinhold.
Yeah, how strange was that?
So, yeah, it's what a coinkydink.
I know. And we're introduced to Chaz, who's the brother of Eric. And I know Chaz from The Office. And he's a really, really nice, likeable character. And I think Chaz was also possibly in Brightburn. Which is on the queue. So it's a lot of returning faces on this podcast, which I do like. And again, as most people, he is dead against Star Wars superheroes and stuff. And we learn that Eric is being groomed, not sexually, by his dad to one day take over the car lot. And it's something that he didn't want to do. And that when he was at school, he was a fantastic artist and drew lots of comic books. It's kind of been drilled in. I got the impression that it's been drilled into him by his dad that it's a shit idea and he'll never make any money. Was that kind of the right angle that we were meant to be given?
Yeah, I suppose so. It's the whole, you know, graduate and get a real job. And his dad's presented him with that opportunity. So it's like, if you want this job, if you want this opportunity, you've got to sack that off because it's not a real career.
Yeah, and I like the fact also that Bot hadn't spoken to Linus for a number of years, which was possibly the only arc we got in this of their friendship being a bit on the rocks to start with, to them going full on bros at the end of it, which I did like, and I thought the story needed, because it had to have some kind of stakes, as well as you always knew that they were going to watch a Star Wars film. I thought they all would watch it, to be honest, as a bonding moment, but it's obviously it doesn't work out like that. But he turns up in the basement of Hutch with the map that he's planned it, that he really wants to do it, and he's kind of wanted to take a step away from his dad and possibly learn that he's missed out on a massive, like, 3 year gap of friendship with his guys, isn't he, Kel?
Yeah, I think he kind of, when they come to speak to him, I think he realizes there's more to life than what he's going into because he kind of forgot himself. And so he sort of sees what they're doing. And yes, he sees it potentially as a bit of a waste of the life, maybe, but also I could be having a lot more fun with my friends. So
Yeah.
I think he takes that opportunity.
Yeah, he's only young, and I do like the argument that they do have about Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia kissing each other.
Because if you ask me, miserable is wasting your life in Hutch's garage, playing video games, arguing whether or not Luke really had a thing for Leia.
You know, as well as anybody, that as soon as Luke knew Leia was his sister, it was hands off.
They still kiss.
That was Leia kissing Luke to make Han jealous.
Yeah, that was the second time. And the first time.
The first time they're about to die.
They were
not,
swinging
you liar.
30,000 feet
well,
in the
you
air.
Know when you're a sibling, okay? There's something innate.
It doesn't matter.
There's
you
no
can,
telepathy
it
between
spans
Luke and Leia
the
until
ocean.
episode six.
It was
it's not
not
romance.
enough to
it's
die.
sci-fi opera.
Who cares about this shit, man, huh? Who cares about
I do.
That's a conversation that's been had millions of times over all around the world, Steve, isn't it?
Yeah, still a hot topic of a conversation. We won't go into it because we'll be here for a while.
But just very quickly, incest or not incest? I'm not asking what you prefer, like a preference for you. I'm asking about the film.
I think they should have known. They both have connections to the Force. They are both Force sensitive. Therefore, they should have had that kind of pre-alert to say that something's not right here. But they went through with it. So I think, incest.
Yeah, I think the same. That meant to be all like force based and stuff like that. Luke should have known he's meant to be really strong, like the best Jedi. I think that he just hadn't had some for a while and just thought, you know what, he's on offer. And I think he just dropped his standards for a second. So, would that have happened in Star Trek? I don't think it would have done. What does that make Star Wars?
No. Let's not do this. We're not here. Not gonna do that.
But you could
Love
say on
it.
the same note that Captain Kirk shags various aliens around the world. Does that make him a hero? To some, it does.
Well, I don't know, but they have like holodecks where they do weird stuff as well. It's all very weird. Star Trek's a bit weird. Very weird.
Yeah. I think the holodecks is like a BDSM kind of room that no one's really meant to know about, but it's one of those things that everyone does.
Yeah, and now Kel's interested in Star Trek.
No, I have no interest in Star Trek. Nothing can make me become interested in Star Trek.
But an interest
Good.
in BDSM.
I've always had an interest in BDSM. That's not been a secret.
There you go. It's your first step on towards Star Trek, then. You've made the first step. The box set will be next.
No, nothing is that good, trust me.
Fair enough. And we get our first hint of Trekkies, as they're called, when Hutch is in the comic shop, which he works in with Zoe, and you've got Windows in there as well. And he's got. Is it a taser that he's got behind the counter and these two Trekkies come in asking questions about it?
It's a phaser.
A phaser. See, I'm no good with Star Trek. I kind of know the rough names of it or what they sound like, but that's about it. And he seems to have it there just so Trekkies will come in so he can beast them about everything and then kick them out of the shop, doesn't he?
Yeah, he baits them over so that way you can see who's a Trekkie and who's normal. I say normal, but who's. And yeah, he says it to them. He says, we put it there to see who comes over. And he calls one of them Garfunkel, which I liked.
We keep this one here to suss out Trekkie bitches like yourselves and tell them to get the hell off of our land. So get the hell off of our land. Get the hell off of our land! Get the hell out of here! Now! Get out of here, you Kirk-loving Spock suckers!
But you struck a real good note there. Who's normal? Who is normal? There'll be Star Trek shops, like comic book shops, with like a lightsaber in, and people go in there exactly the same thing. I don't think, looking at it from the outside, that there really is any difference between Trekkies and Star Wars fans. Kel, do you?
I mean, I'll probably get shot down for saying it, but no. I would
Oh,
say it's a
boring.
whole big group of nerds.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, with
not,
nerds.
There's nothing wrong with being a nerd, just like to put that out there, but it's just you're all the same, basically.
No, we're not. We're not. We're not.
You are.
That's
very, you are.
That's like a prejudiced way to look at it.
That's what I said. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just you are all a bunch of nerds following a weird sci-fi, unrealistic TV program.
Careful. Don't look for more words. Don't look for more words. You can draw a line here. We have
okay, I'll stop.
We do have feelings.
Do you know what feelings are or how to express them, or are you all a bit robotic?
We don't know how to express them. We are very sensitive to insults.
Right.
We're also very sensitive to sunlight, so let's just be nice.
Oh, bless you. So Stu, you could be a closet nerd because you're sensitive to sunlight.
I'm quite happy. I'll own
you're
it.
Mr. Pasty.
Okay, let's get back to the film. We're getting personal now, Cal. Really getting personal. But yes, they go and find Linus, and they reveal the floor plans to the Skywalker Ranch.
That's what I think it is. Linus laid the whole thing out in fifth grade. I figure it's time for another epic journey, isn't it?
What's your game plan?
We storm the ranch or we die trying.
And that's what convinces him to go. And it's great because Eric really, really wants to go. He's got his map of stops of information, and he's really sold on the idea, and he's really kind of thrown everything into this friendship. And it's when the road trip starts, which for me is when the fun starts, because you do meet different people along the way. And I think the first stop we have is when we meet. And when I first saw this, I thought, there's no way that's Seth Rogen. But he's playing Captain Tiberius or some cosplay character in some town, isn't he? And I didn't recognise him. He looks such a geek, doesn't he?
He looks how you imagine a Trekkie would look.
See, I'm not going to get involved in that because I'm way on the fence on this because I like both. Next Generation, I really enjoyed Next Generation.
You can't be on the fence. You can't be on the fence.
Why?
I embrace both sides.
Because this is why we have to have battles in life. We can't all just get along and be friends. It's impossible. We don't do it. There has to be right, wrong, yin, yang, water, fire.
There is. And there's Star Wars and there's Star Trek. And I think you can appreciate both. You really, really can. You can like one more than the other. I'll always go towards Star Wars than Star Trek. I don't like the new, more up-to-date Star Trek. I didn't like that. Any of the recent films, didn't see any of them. I saw the old school stuff with Leonard Nimoy and, as I say, Captain Kirk and that. Because that was my generation. I was brought up on that, along with Star Wars. I don't like the modern stuff, but it's not to say that it's shit. It's got its place. I mean, Rav loves Star Trek. He doesn't like Star Wars. So, and he'd
Rav
say...
is wrong. I love Rav. Rav, if you're listening, love you, but you're wrong.
There you go. But it's weird that you see Seth Rogen look as fucking weird and nerdy as this, and he's doing a tour.
This very spot, Captain James Tiberius Kirk will be born, hence the statue immortalizing him, grappling with his most accursed nemesis.
Ricardo Montalban?
Genetically engineered tyrant, Khan.
Yes. He doesn't look like either of them.
Thank you for pointing that out. That is because the whores at Viacom International threatened to sue us if we use their likenesses, so we make do.
Did you guys notice the size of the cock on Captain Kirk on the statue?
No.
It is fucking huge. If you watch this again, if you go to 20 minutes and 50 seconds and pause it there, he's standing there chatting, and the size of the schlong on the Captain Kirk statue that he built.
That's a fucking weapon, isn't it?
This is where we need Neil on the podcast to talk about something like this.
No, he's only an expert in vaginas,
but he's had hand-to-hand combat or offered hand-to-hand combat in a gents toilet due to the size
of
his
right,
lightsaber.
Yeah, this is true. I like the way you said lightsaber. Exactly, it's the more well-known.
It gets bigger, doesn't it?
Well, lightsabers don't particularly get bigger. The hilt will always stay the same. We're not getting into it. We're not doing it.
I can feel you really want to. But yeah, so he's got a massive schlong. I only noticed that just now. And I don't know why I went to you, Steve, rather than you, Kel, on that one.
Oh, clearly I'm not the expert, so, and I'm okay with that.
Well, I feel you are. But again, they reveal themselves by asking stupid questions and taking the piss, which is something I could see you doing, Steve, at this stage, of revealing themselves to be Star Wars fans. And then they have a battle. All that was missing was the famous Star Trek music, like da 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 da, and then just the fight. And the fight is what you'd expect by between two groups of nerds, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real wank or fight, isn't it? It's just token gesture.
I mean, isn't there one point where Seth Rogen's character has to? Oh, it's at the end when they smash over the statue. He has to take a hit from his asthma pump.
Yeah, he calls Han Solo a bitch, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Han Solo's not a bitch, by the way.
No, I completely agree with that. Harrison Ford, Han Solo, absolute fantastic characters. Really, really good. And they get a flat tire, and it leads us to our next scene of when they choose a biker bar to try and get some their tires sorted out and to get a drink as well. And they are way out of their depth. It's like a Hell's Angels place. But we learn that it's not a normal one. It's more tilted towards the Blue Oyster, isn't it? And you've got Hutch, who's talking about taking people to prison and he'll own them and they'll be made love to in prison and all shit like that. And it's like, no, you just shut up. Know your audience.
Word to the wise, ese. You best drop the tough-ass biker routine before I get angry. You won't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, I think I would.
Hutch, let's not do it.
Nah. This guy wants to dick with me? Fine. I can dick. I used to rape guys 15 times your size in prison. So you best back off. Or so help me God, I'm gonna pound your ass so hard.
Oh, Jesus.
No, Hutch.
What?
There's kind of a thing in this bar.
I see. X-nay on the ass. Pound it.
And they're made to strip in front of everyone, aren't they?
Yeah, they soon find out they've gone to a certain bar that quite likes the comments they're making. So, yeah, their yeah. only escape is to do a little dance, which I would be in my element here.
What, watching or doing?
Doing, 100%.
Why is that?
I just feel like I'm just a performer. I just want to be seen.
What, naked?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to accept your body for what it is, Stuart. And if the world wants to see, the world gets to see. I'm not going to hide it from them.
I think we could see you in prison very soon then, could we?
Yeah, I would get eaten alive in prison.
Would you?
You probably would.
Yeah, I'd be hanging on to someone's little pocket.
At least you admit that. You sound quite happy with that and comfortable.
As long as I'm safe, I'll take it.
You would be, mate. I promise you that. You'd make a great wife for someone. You really, really would.
Thank you.
And we're introduced to the chief, Danny Trejo, who gives them, like, magic mushrooms, and they all get off on their tits. And it's really rare to see Danny Trejo play a character who hasn't got a machete, who's not kind of threatening to cut someone's head off. He plays quite a chilled-out guy in this for a change, doesn't he?
Yeah, quite a lovable guy. I like this scene because I like when the Ewok starts humping, is it Hutch or
yeah.
Windows? Yeah, really. never found Ewoks attractive until I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Furries, you into that?
No, not fairies.
What's the difference between an Ewok and a fairy then? Explain.
I think it's more the stature, Kel.
Oh, right. Okay, I totally get that. Fair enough.
Oh, you get it as well. There we go. It's
I get the difference three. When you're saying stature makes a difference. That's what I mean. I'm not saying I'm into fairies or Ewoks or anything like that.
But you are into weird shit.
Can't deny that, really.
Wow, we really tangent, don't we? We really, really do tangent. We're talking about taking magic mushrooms by a fire and like a bonding moment between everyone. And then we get onto furries and kinky stuff that Kelly's into.
Yeah, I mean, it always goes back to that, doesn't it?
It's so weird. It really, really is. And I like the fact, I think it's Linus is just looking up, tripping, and he kind of goes into like hyperspace where on the Millennium Falcon, and he just looks up at the stars, and everyone is just off their tits, aren't they?
Yeah, it looks like a great time. To be fair, I have never done anything like this, but I'm really happy for them.
Yeah, I thought there'd be a catch. I really, really didn't think that the car would actually get fixed and that they'd be on their way. And again, in the morning, Danny Trejo would just be a really, really nice guy. But there is no catch. I think he gives Linus a big bag of cannabis, doesn't he, to take with him?
Yeah, and obviously it's going to have mass benefits for his cancer, I imagine.
I would have thought so, definitely. And I like the fact that when they're pissing up against his electric fence, would that actually happen? Would the electricity travel up the piss into your dick? I've never done it before.
No, Kel, you're probably quite smart with science shit. Would it work?
I don't know for definite, but I'm going to go with no. I don't think it would work like that. No.
Need to do
but
it.
I've never tried it, and it's not easy for me to try it, so I'd have to rely on one of you guys to do that experiment.
Don't be a quitter. I have faith in you.
Yeah, I reckon you could do it.
I'm not Cack so yourself, sure.
Give it a squat, lean back.
Woo! I still don't think that's not quite how it works, but I still think I would struggle to get the right angle for that to work.
You need to remember.
Try.
It Steve could be quite enjoyable, to be fair, but.
With the female what? Anatomy, so
what, getting a little electric shock,
just where bits were,
or are you into water sports?
Oh God, no, that's not for me.
Well, we have found your limit.
Yeah, certain bodily fluids are unknown now, I'm afraid.
Well, there we go, another tangent that I didn't expect.
Although, depending on the situation, who knows? Never say never.
Oh my God,
I don't know.
I think I'm aroused.
I only think. Clearly, I need to try harder.
Cool, Stu. Where are we at in the film?
Pissing on a fence. Come on, guys. Keep up.
So next, Windows meets his moment of destiny where he goes into the cafe to meet these contacts he's been talking to. I can't remember her name now. Can you guys?
Is it Red Leader or Rogue Leader? I think it's Leader.
There is some Star Wars reference. And he doesn't have his glasses on, which I don't really see the point. If you're going to meet someone, you're not going to look cool walking in like a blind man. And as you say, it turns out to be this young girl, which is absolutely horrific. But his watching friends are just kind of, I don't know, gesticulating, shagging the glass up against the window. And they can see just how bad it is and how bad it's getting. And as soon as they realise it's a 12-year-old kid or 10-year-old kid, that they try and run in and save him. But the damage is done. Yeah, she's 12. And then you get the uncle of the little girl just loses shit and start beating the crap out of Windows, which is fair play. You do that. These strangers have travelled all this way to meet your little niece to possibly groom her. I think he got off quite fucking lightly.
Yeah, but then again, they made a deal, explain the story that they're going to try and break into the Skywalker Ranch and Ranch.
Where are you from?
Fuck knows. And then they're going to basically give him some exclusives because he's like, I don't know, like some nerd reporter or something. It just goes to show how much weight there is in Star Wars gossip.
It does, because the guy has a website called Ain't It Cool News, and he asks them questions to prove their love of Star Wars after he gives Windows a bit of a slap. And did you know the answer to the questions he asked, Steve?
I think I know a few of them, yeah. The one about Dantooine, I didn't know, but the others I was on board with.
I didn't know the one where it's... I knew Luke Skywalker's call sign. I knew that, yeah. The Red Five, but I didn't know the planet where Chewbacca came from.
Yeah, Kashyyyk. Yeah, it's featured heavily in the more recent films and comics and games, so it's more well-known now.
Yeah, I didn't know that one, but the others I would have been quite comfortable with. And they do get pulled over by the 5-0 on the way. They've been given a task to go to Las Vegas to meet a contact who can give them passes, floor plans, everything to get into the Skywalker Ranch, a proper good contact in exchange for insider news and a review of what the Phantom Menace will look like. And they get chased by the police. Inevitably, they crash. And we do get the hyperspace kind of jump in with the van, don't we? And that's quite a nice scene. It's a bit dopey for me, though.
Yeah, it's I think the the epitome of trope, isn't it? That scene. But I suppose there's a lot of it in this film. I don't think it takes itself too seriously.
No, thankfully. I think if this film would have taken itself seriously in any kind of way, it would have been absolutely fucking terrible. And probably, as Kelly would say, it would be even worse than it actually is. I should imagine that's where she'd come from.
Pretty much, yeah.
Definitely. I did like the bit when they get locked up for, obviously, their driving offences. And you get Hutch, who needs a shit. And he has to pinch one out in front of his mates. And he puts ham down on the pan because he doesn't want to sit on the toilet seat. Well, that was a very, very clever way of doing it. It's disgusting, but it's a clever way of doing it.
It's not I would have thought about doing, to be honest.
I would put a T-shirt down or something.
I think I would have just squatted and just hovered above it.
Well, they did suggest that, but he was not game.
I don't think he could do that. I don't think he's fit enough to be able to do that.
No, definitely not.
But we're introduced to, and I can't remember his name now, but he's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's one of the detectives. He's got a funny name, and I can't pronounce it whatsoever, so I'm not going to try. But they do get bailed out, and that's when we're introduced to Billy Dee Williams, isn't it?
Yeah, Judge Reinhold.
Which, as you said, is a very strange coinkydink because of Beverly Hills Cop, which we did last week. And it's very strange. Was this references when he says, "I know your father"? Were they referencing "he is your father"?
I think, yeah. I mean, it doesn't properly line up, so I don't think it worked, this one.
No, it's a bit shoehorned into it. I mean, it's nice to see Lando in this making an appearance, and he gives him a note saying, "I spoke to your father. It's home now or you're fired." And that really makes him think about his choices. I mean, I think that it pushes him further away from his dad, doesn't it?
Originally, I think it kind of makes him think, shit, I need to go home. But then, yeah, it inevitably has the opposite impact.
But you've got to think, he's just talking about his job. And I know he's meant to inherit the company, but his brother works there as well. So I don't quite know how that works, his older brother. But he is travelling with Linus, who has got terminal cancer, which should, you'd think, put things in perspective, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think you'd see what's important.
Yeah, that never seems to be the case.
Doesn't he do that?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
But I do like the moment, and I think this is the time when Hutch says, "This is your Death Star."
"You gotta find your Death Star."
"Okay, I'll bite."
"Greatest deed Luke Skywalker ever did was take down a Death Star, right? As far as I'm concerned, that's what everybody needs. You need that one badass thing that you live on forever, you know?"
I do like that analogy where Luke Skywalker, his purpose was to destroy the Death Star. And I thought that was a very good kind of analogy to use. That this is his Death Star. This is what he needs to do. And I like that. That worked for me. I know it's Star Wars and it's simple, but I thought that was quite a neat little way of bringing the whole band back together.
It works, doesn't it? It's a very good way of putting it for people. It's a way they would understand, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is a nod for who this film is kind of really aimed at. And Kel, I mean, did you believe the chemistry between Zoe, Kristen Bell, and Windows? Where did this come from?
What, romantic chemistry or just like...
Yeah, romantic chemistry that seems to all of a sudden be shoved in our face.
No, I just saw it as she was like one of the lads, if you like, and like he sees her. I didn't think there was any need for a romantic storyline to it. And I didn't see... That's the only bit I would say I didn't see coming either. The rest of the story was kind of predictable. But no, I wouldn't have put that together until it was made very, very obvious.
Yeah, yeah. And it did remind me of you when, because obviously you're very close to all of us. We all go out and have a laugh and have a drink together. And that he was saying, yeah, you're just like one of the boys there. You're just like a dude, aren't you? So
yeah.
Why would anyone fancy you? Why would I fancy you? Because there's nothing attractive about you because you're just like a bloke, one of us. And it really hit her in the stomach, didn't it? But it was
because he said, "You're not a girl," didn't he?
Yeah.
She's like, "I don't quite understand."
It's like, because he's like me and he doesn't understand anatomy, that's why.
"I'm female kryptonite.
Look, you're finer on me.
Well, yeah, of course I am. That's because you're not a girl. You know what I mean?
No, please enlighten me.
You know every Bond villain, you constantly quote Clash of the Titans, and you beat every Zelda game Nintendo's ever released. I mean,
you can relate to this situation, then.
Absolutely. I'm not even sure what females are still. I am so behind.
There's a
bit. Do you know
where
the ovaries are yet?
Not a fucking Scooby.
But we do meet two people who know where everything is. And whilst they're at the table playing poker or blackjack, that there's two prostitutes who are looking over. And when you're in Vegas, there literally are prostitutes everywhere. It's absolutely frightening. You've really got to be on your kind of guard of who you smile at, who you let talk to you when you're out in Vegas, because there really are just prostitutes everywhere. And when these two girls are at the slot machine, they look over, and obviously someone like Hutch is going to go for any bit of Fanny whatsoever. That it's so easy for them, but there was always going to be a catch, and I knew that there'd be a catch, because there's no way that these aren't even particularly good looking girls, but that they would go for someone like him, is there?
Personality.
No.
Exactly.
Fuck off, is there? There's no way that these two girls. There's no point being nice about it. There's no way someone like that would pull them. There's a reason why he's living in the garage of his mum's house.
It's not a garage, it's a carriage house.
That's what
he
said.
You can relate on another level. Perfect.
Oh, wow. Oh my God. Harsh. Amazing. As harsh can be. And we learned that Seth Rogen's there as well, because there's a Star Wars convention. And whilst they're trying to track down their contact to get their schematics for Skywalker Ranch, we keep going back to, I like the fact that Windows is talking about Kristen Bell, and it's kind of the picture's painted to him. Maybe she fancies you. Whilst Hutch is pretending that he's a successful businessman, and he thinks he can use the Force to get this woman to sit on top of him, straddle him, and then take her top off. This is why someone like him would never pull someone like her.
Why?
Because, why not? Because if someone did that, a female, and you pretended you had the Force, I mean, Steve, I hate to tell you that this doesn't work, mate. I think you're kind of feeling a bit of embarrassment.
I beg to differ. I mean, Stu, tell me, in your life, have you ever opened automatic doors by waving your hand in front of them?
There's a difference between doing that than a female who you want to have sex with.
I love that comparison. I do like where your mind went there.
If you can open a door, you can get a woman to undress. Open a door, woman undress.
Nope. The only way you get a woman to undress if you had a gun in front of you.
Me?
Wow, that is a low blow.
Stu, that's not like you.
I've seen you out, Steve. I've seen you clean up, mate. I know what it's like.
I know. I'm a weapon.
You are. You're a man with a weapon, and you are a weapon. Just do not go into the toilets at the same time as Neil does, please.
No, he intimidates me.
It's so big.
Exactly. I cannot go through that again. We had a good night out last time because we all went to the toilet separately.
Time slots and everything.
So we do get to the stage where Linus and Bot meet their contact, and it's William Shatner who plays a cameo.
It's all there. Maps, passcodes, phony ideas to get you past the front gates. But that's not what's most important.
What's most important?
We never met.
And it's nice to have a cameo from the dark side, probably, Steve, from your point of view. And it's good that he gives them everything, a pass to get in there. And he's also got his autobiography that he can read, that he's wearing his TJ Hooker book uniform, and it's called Trekking. And it just made me laugh. I like William Shatner. I think he's just like a parody of himself. He's quite funny. He still wears his ridiculous wig after all these years, doesn't he?
Is that a wig?
Yeah, he's worn a wig for fucking years.
Really? I'm going to have to Google this.
Yeah.
And you say you're a fan.
He's not. He's Star Trek, you dick.
And you still know the differences.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan of it. Okay. Yeah, it is a wig. Wow.
Thank you.
Mad.
And then we get Seth
Rogen.
He
actually doubted you.
Yeah, I know. It confirmed what I knew. How bad is that? You do that every day, though, so I'm used to that. Yeah. But then we do get Seth Rogen again, who comes in as the pimp for the two prostitutes or the two working girls or ladies of the night, I want to call it. And it turns out that he's a Star Wars fan and he's got the worst tattoos. He's got the good side, the dark side on his arm. And I like the fact he's got Jar Jar Binks on his back because he thinks he has heard that he's going to be a really cool, popular character, which we all learn is the complete opposite because he's one of the most annoying characters ever created. Steve, are you going to tell me different?
Not a great character, but, you know, I feel like the actor has made a redemption recently.
I think it's terrible. What do you think of the Carrie Fisher? They have to go into hospital because Linus isn't doing too well, and she's a doctor. And she plays the role of when she kisses them when they escape because they say, look, we're so close. We need to do this. We need to fulfill your destiny. As we said, this is the Death Star mission that you need to fulfill. And she kisses Linus and he says, I love you. He says, I know. That famous line, the iconic line. I quite like that. I thought that was a quite nice touch, especially as he's obviously terminal. We know he hasn't got that long.
Yeah, it was, again, it's a reference. If you know the reference, you enjoy it even more.
Yeah, I thought that was quite nice. And this film does go with pace. I have to say, they soon break into, with extreme ease, into Skywalker Ranch. And they come across this room and it's behind like a blast door, which I thought was a very nice touch. And as soon as it opened, you've got Darth Vader in the middle. I thought Darth Vader was going to move. I have to say, when I first saw this, I thought he's set up to move. Did you guys?
Yeah, I thought. I think he should have.
It would have been fucking cool. Kel, what about you?
Yeah, I suppose if he had have done, it would be good. It's not something that crossed my mind when I watched it. No, only now that you mention it. But yeah, I guess that would have been quite a good choice, I guess. I don't know. I'd kind of lost interest at this point.
Well, that's fair enough. They do go into this room and it's got like loads of plans. It's got Han Solo's outfit. It's got a TIE fighter, Snowspeeder, AT-AT, and it's got the Imperial Guards. It's got the Sandman outfit, Princess Leia, R2-D2. It's got everything, hasn't it? And it's got the stuff from Indiana Jones, like the Hindenburg that blows up, Boba Fett's helmet. And it's even got the Biker Scouts helmet. It's Steve, you would ejaculate in seconds, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take much anyway. I would probably crumble in on the floor and just be leaking.
Yeah, I sure you would. And what a weird choice. They're obviously looked at on CCTV, and the security guards have their faces covered with this kind of steel mask, this silver mask that they wear so you can't see their faces. What was that a nod to, Steve? Was that a nod to anything in particular, or was it just a weird choice?
I don't know. It must be a nod to something because it's just very specific, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really strange. I couldn't see the point of it. It was just very, very bizarre. But that's when we get our cameo of Ray Parks, who obviously, as we know, played Darth Maul. And he proves that point when he gets two batons out and starts jumping. He does that famous, that's when I realised it was him, that kind of flying flip that Darth Maul does, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, he also says the line, it's time to get mauled, which is a dead giveaway.
I didn't even catch that, to be honest. I was more impressed with his baton work.
Yeah, no, I appreciate a good baton work.
Yeah, it looked really, really good. And he come back, was it. He's not in it anymore. He got defeated relatively easy. And there was kind of no violence. And they run away and they land in the trash compactor, which I thought was quite a good nod. In Star Wars, they do escape on the Death Star and end up in this room, which looks exactly the same as this, and the walls start closing in and there's a monster under the water that starts taking one of them out, and it's just a nod to that. That's what it was, Kel.
Right, okay. Didn't have a clue.
Yeah, so that's what they're doing, and it's resolved very easy where Kristen Bell says, look, there's the exit, nothing's moving, and the noise is the air conditioner. And that's it. And it's quite a nice way to get out of a situation which was bordering on very risky, of being ridiculous. But then they find episode one, the rough cut, don't they?
Yeah, which I would have been super excited at this point. I remember being jealous of one of my friends when I was in year two, because after school he was going to watch The Phantom Menace and I had to wait. So I would have been moist.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, I am cute. I'm adorable. I'm fucking well adorable.
Okay.
Same when you say it yourself.
It's called an affirmation or something, isn't it, when you say something in the mirror.
I don't know. When you start talking to mirrors, you're kind of bordering on like the Green Goblin from Spider-Man.
Yeah, tip to tip, mate. Tip to tip.
Oh, my God. I learn something new about you every day. Sometimes if it's if I want to or not, you know.
I'm an open book.
I'm sure you're in books and magazines, mate.
I'm an open picture book.
What kind of pictures?
I'll text you afterwards.
Okay.
What, the answer or the pictures?
I'm hoping just pictures.
Yeah, pictures. We'll go pictures.
Excellent stuff. Love it. And then they have a standoff between security and the fanboys. If you don't let us go, I'll break this item. I'll break this item.
Oh God!
Linus, what are you doing, man?
I'm feeling crazy right now.
Dude, do you have any idea how valuable that thing is?
Not a good idea.
Put it down. Put it down now.
You guys stand up against the wall or I will smash this thing into a billion pieces. I will smash this.
No.
You think I won't?
No, I don't.
No, you don't. You think that I won't, or no, you don't. You think that I will?
The first one.
I'm confused. Who's doing what now?
You tell me. It doesn't matter, because if he puts down the Millennium Falcon, I will smash this training remote into a million pieces, erasing it from history.
Come on, guys, let's rethink this.
Shut up, Windows!
Who's doing what?
Okay, put down the Millennium Falcon and the training remote, or I will destroy this puppet.
Craig! You can't!
To me, it goes on a bit too long. I don't know what you guys think.
No, I liked it because everyone was picking something up, and then we had Yoda, we had the Millennium Falcon, we had the Ewok head, and then the security guard admits that he's a Trekkie, and it's all just quite... I liked it.
Yeah, it just kind of went on, I have to say, but that's just me being miserable. So, and I'll admit that. I'm quite happy. And we get Danny McBride as the head of security. Another nod to what we've done in the previous, because he wrote the Halloween films, Halloween Ends, etc., which are on the queue of the podcast, which me and you reviewed, Kel, didn't we?
We did, yeah, a long time ago now, but yes, we did. I kind of remember that.
Yeah, thank you again for confirming what I already knew. I appreciate that. But we meet Danny McBride, who plays head of security. And if anyone's seen or hasn't seen Eastbound and Down, it's fucking brilliant. It's well worth watching. He plays a baseball player who's down and out on his luck, who's trying to get back into the big time. And it's fucking brilliant. He plays Kenny Powers. It's well worth watching. Will Ferrell makes a cameo in it in the second season. It's so, so good. So he gets in contact with George Lucas. And again, I'd fail a lot of these questions, certain degrees of them, that he tests them of their knowledge of Star Wars. And if they pass that test, that then they can actually watch the film, or one of you can watch the film. And the questions go from Star Wars hardcore questions to absolute filth, don't they?
Yeah, which I imagine if it was, so say if it was us, like you and I, Kel and Neil, between us all, we'd be able to cover these questions easily.
I think we would. I wouldn't come across as much of a Star Wars fan. I mean, what is the name of the gunner in Luke's snowspeeder? You know that,
Dax.
Steve?
Yeah, Dax.
So he answers questions like that. And then he asks, where is a woman's G-spot located?
Exactly, and then that's when I'm out, and that's where Kel takes over.
No, surely that's Neil.
Kel and Neil. Well, you got one. You must know where it is.
Yes, I'm aware. Thank you for letting me know. I needed that bit of education.
Yeah, excellent.
Gentle reminder.
Thanks.
Do you know what a Mississippi handbag is, Kel?
I do, yeah.
Oh, my God. What is it?
Well, it says where do the testicles end up, doesn't he? And it would be under the lady's armpit.
What the fuck?
All right.
That is the answer to the question.
I am basically Googling this.
Okay, here we go, I'll let you.
Yeah, I'm just writing this down as you say this. So And he talks about the little bumps around the nipples as well. What are they called? And he goes, yar. To be fair, I was struggling.
They're so awkward as well, though, with the way they do it. It's like they're really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's quite funny.
It really, really is. And due to their lack of knowledge of anything sexual whatsoever, with me making out that I know so much, that he can guarantee, it's part from, to be fair, Zoe, Kristen Bell, seems to know the answers to what he's saying. And she gives him a punch on the nose. I think if this was kind of replicated by us, the character that you would play for sure.
I'd be able to answer the question she's given. Yes, I would.
Yeah, she's very much of a dark horse. And I like the fact that they do pass the test. How do you feel that Linus is the only one to watch the film when George Lucas grants permission? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's fair.
Why do you think it's other people miss out?
Because they're going to get the chance, aren't they? They are. There's nothing to suggest that they are going to miss out. So he's like, right, I'm not going to just make this like everyone can do it. It's still very much an exclusive thing. And I think it's nice that just to see Linus sat there by himself watching the film, everyone outside waiting for him to, you know, in anticipation. I think it works better that way.
Yeah. What about yourself, Cal?
I disagree with that. I think it would have been nice if, as they'd all done it and it was his only chance to watch the film, it would have been nice for them to actually, like I think you said at the beginning or earlier on, that it would have been like a bonding moment for them because they'd gone through all of this as a team. They'd kind of got through personal challenges for different things and they'd done it all together. It would have been a nice ending to have it done together, watched together.
Yeah, I've got mixed feelings. I think it's a nice tribute that he watched on his own, as that was kind of became part of the mission that they wanted to do it for him. But it would have been a nice moment of them, especially as he's going to die, of having that lasting memory. When I watched it both times, I thought two different things. But what I wanted to ask was, after he sees the film, he comes out, he says, oh, what was it like? And he just says, Chewie. Steve, why did he say that?
Because that's their version of shotgun.
Okay.
So they literally explained that earlier in the film.
All right, I must have nodded off at that part because I didn't know whether that was a code word for it was great or it was shit.
Don't say that.
It was weird, isn't it? Because what if he would have come out and gone, fucking hell, Jar Jar Binks is so awful. What a terrible film. Special effects are way bad. It would have been amazing after all that they'd have come out and said it's shit.
Don't waste your time. But they play on that at the end, don't they? Because
they do. I like that line. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I had to have that in. I thought that was brilliant. When they on their way back and they stop and it's snowing, they've got their tent pitched up and they're around the fire and they're all chilled out. I love the bonding between all of them. And you've got Eric, also known as Bot, and you've got Linus sitting by a fire. And like they really do kind of just put everything, all the water under the bridge, and they're great friends. And it's a really touching moment in the film. It's probably my favourite moment in the film, to be honest.
So this was never about the movie. You know, this is about all of us. I mean, look at us, we're together again, freezing our nuts off.
No teaming up, that's a rule! Dicks! Both of you are dicks.
I'm gonna go save him.
You coming?
No, I'm good right here.
Does he die?
I don't think he dies there.
I figured died there.
Well, yeah, he does die, but I don't think he dies right there. I think it's just him closing his eyes and then, yeah, cuts the scene.
Right. Because I wasn't sure whether he died on the road trip and he was at peace with himself. He's with his friends. There's no mention of his family at all.
No.
And
I guess it's another thing. They don't want to draw too much attention to his death, his funeral, his family, because we know he's going to die. So it's just, let's leave that bit out and just make it obvious that he is unfortunately no longer with us and move on to the next bit.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I just wasn't too sure what you guys kind of thought. I took it that he died there and then, which would have been annoying because you've got to then take a fucking dead body back and it's just awkward,
pointless person. So inconvenient.
Yeah, exactly. You're down on buns. You're not going to go Dutch on petrol money, are you? Because he's there, so it makes it awkward. But it does end with them at the premiere and they get to see it. And I've never been to a cinema where everyone is basically cosplaying, wearing dressed as Stormtroopers Boba Fett. I mean, it's nice to see Kristen Bell dressed as Princess Leia in Return of the Jedi. I do like that cosplay outfit, I have to say.
Well, did you not experience this when you... Did you see Endgame at midnight?
I did, yeah.
Because when I saw it, there was quite a few people dressed up.
Oh, really? No, I didn't see people really dressed up. Mind you, I was so excited that I probably didn't take it in. I was with my youngest and we were just buzzing off each other. I just loved it. That was amazing. Yeah. Endgame. Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm never going to experience a movie moment like that ever again. That was magical.
Yeah. I have to say that was just, I think when Thor had his hammer and Cap picked Mjolnir up, that was a moment I'll never forget. I really honestly believe that. I don't think there'll ever be a moment at the cinema that will get me as much as that.
No. And I think very much this scene kind of replicates what that was like for us. You know, the excitement of it, all the anticipation, people cheering. It made me think of Endgame. It made me think of Cap with Mjolnir. So, I like that.
Yeah, it was a nice moment. And it's good. As you say, at the end of it, Hutch turns around to his mates and says, "What if this film sucks?" Which the film, to me, it does. The Phantom Menace, Darth Maul was the best part in it. Apart from that, it's just absolutely shocking. My opinion only, not shared by millions of people around the world, obviously.
Yeah, well, you know, people are allowed to have their opinions.
They are, which makes it all nice. But, Kel, what do you think of 2009 Fanboys?
I didn't find it that interesting, I'm afraid. I thought it isn't a Star Wars film and you can watch it without knowing all the little nods to various different pieces. But there is a storyline to it, but it's just predictable and boring. It's very slow. It didn't hold my interest, but I have no interest in Star Wars and that kind of thing. So not going to, I guess. So maybe someone who's into that kind of stuff might be more interested and have more, might hold their attention a bit more. I just found it a bit boring. Harmless, but boring.
So you thought it was a bit of a shell of a road trip film and they put Star Wars in it, reference for Star Wars fans to try and make it a good film, a better film. Is that what you think?
Yeah, that's probably a very good way of putting it. It's a story about friendship, basically, isn't it? But with a very strong undertone of Star Wars.
That's fair enough. And I have to say, I enjoyed the film. It's very easygoing. It's not challenging whatsoever. When I watched it today, I did fall asleep, but I was absolutely knackered. That wasn't a reflection of the film. I did struggle with this film, but it was nice enough. It was harmless. Will I watch it again? I probably won't. I like the bond between the friends. I thought as that went on, it got better and better and more believable. And I could relate, having grown up with Star Wars and collect all the figures and seen all the films. I really like Star Wars. And you could look at the videos on YouTube of The Mandalorian, where I go fucking mental when there is spoilers in that one. If no one's seen it, it really takes me by surprise and it gets me going. I love it. I really do. But I feel this film just didn't have enough for me to be invested that much as I cared what happened. I wanted Linus to go and see the film. That's what I really wanted. But it just, I don't know. I've seen so many road trip films before. Road Trip for itself, heavily named, I thought was a better film than this. I like the comedy. And I think the comedy just lacked a little bit in this. I thought they relied too much on nods to Star Wars. Some of them worked, some didn't. So I'd probably give this about 1.5 out of 5. It wasn't crap. I just think there are better road trip films out there. But yeah, Steve.
Yeah, well, obviously I like it. It was my suggestion. I think it's harmless. I like that it's kind of, it almost seems, I know it's 3 million, but it seems a bit more budget. So it doesn't have fancy this, fancy that. So it does come down to like chemistry and delivery. I'm sure I'll turn back to it every now and then and watch it because it's only an hour and a half. So you can whiz through it. You don't have to really pay attention. I will always like this film.
Yeah. Is it a film that you would watch kind of every couple of months if it was on?
Do you know what? If it was on, I probably would, but by my own choosing, probably not as regularly. I think why I like it is because I do watch it maybe once every couple of years or something. It almost feels nostalgic with the callbacks and the references. Yeah.
No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I mean, I love Star Wars and I found this film was all right, but I know it was your choice and I'm glad we've done a film that you wanted to. And it's kind of touched in the direction that we're going, because we will do when we've got Neil and when we've got a proper plan set out to do the prequel films, we will do those at some point, which is going to be really interesting because I don't know Neil's point of view on those. Do you, Steve?
I think Neil said he didn't want to be on the pod. So that was probably a giveaway, but we're going to have him on the pod anyway.
Yeah, because I want to be on there and talk about that. I mean, I said I'll even bite the bullet and do one Harry Potter film. I'll even do that. So,
wow.
I fucking can't stand it. I know, I hate it. But we do films, and I can't just say I'm not doing it because it's a shit film. The pod will give me a platform to say why and listen to why you guys will possibly think it's half decent. I really don't know. But we don't have a film for next week, do we? I will go through the archives of what we've done and try and find something that Kelly can actually relate to, whether that will be some kind of erotic thriller. I really, really don't know. I probably have to be to relate to it.
I can relate to other things. I just have expertise in certain areas, that's all.
We'll be back next week. I don't know what film we'll do, but I can guarantee it will be fun and we'll take the piss out of each other. So just take care of yourselves and join us next week. Thanks again.
All the movie clips and music used in this podcast are the intellectual property rights of the respective copyright holder and used to only enhance your listening experience. And any infringement caused is unintended. Well, that's it now, and we will see you next week.